Hi, and welcome to the Georgia Politics Podcast. My name is Joseph G. of Monotonous.net and Doraville.org. We're here to talk about Georgia politics. With me today are...
Decatur Guy from Atlanta Public Affairs.
Randy Lewis from GeorgiaDailyDigest.com and GeorgiaPoliticalDigest.com.
Catherine Smith from Blog for Democracy.
Joe Winter from JoeVentures.com and BlogLanta.com.
And Melanie Gu from Blog for Democracy.
Well, we're out of election season, which is kind of a relief for a lot of us. One thing I wanted to talk about was just kind of maybe a little bit of a recap, about exactly what happened in this election and how this election is a little bit different from some previous ones that we've experienced here, just because there was so much new media happening, and there were blogs, podcasts, the AJC got into it and started 50 million blogs. Just kind of wondering what your thoughts are about whether all this new stuff had any impact, if it still is yet to cause an impact, what's going on with this, and is it going to be something that we'll see big changes in for 2008?
Well, I think definitely, I read the New York Times today where their national bloggers are being paid by campaigns to say nice things about certain candidates and whatnot. So I think Georgia is just sort of in the infancy of this sort of stuff. So it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But as far as the election results in general, it was a stomping in Georgia.
We saw there was a reluctance by most candidates to use Georgia Political Digest, which was in its first year for a campaign. We had a number of folks, it was almost as if they were just sticking their big toe in just to sort of test it a little bit. For our first outing, we were relatively pleased. But clearly, I mean, these folks are starting to try to figure out how to use this medium. They're not confident yet in how to use it, so they're not going full bore with it. But I think it's starting to have an impact. Overall, I think on the Democrats really did a great job of nationally fielding a good slate pretty much across the board. They ended up doing a good job, and it showed. They obviously won both the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. And in Georgia, it was really just the opposite. They ended up fielding probably their worst slate they could possibly field. And the one or two candidates, both in the primaries and in the general election, where they had a decent candidate, they were unfortunately sandwiched between some real low-character folks. I mean, Mark Taylor was a dreadful candidate for governor. He acted almost as if he didn't want it. And then you had Martin for lieutenant governor, sandwiched in between Taylor and Secretary of State wannabe. I've forgotten her name already.
Who? You could have never forgotten her name, huh?
Yeah, and so here he had a decent guy like Martin, who's a good Democratic candidate, very strong candidate, who should have probably had a shot at winning, who had no shot at all, sandwiched between two folks who acted as if they didn't want to win. So that's a problem here in Georgia. The Democratic Party has essentially collapsed, and now we'll see if they'll ever be able to get back up again.
Well, I was not surprised by the results. In the election, I think I said at the last podcast that I would be happy if Jim Martin got 45%, and he actually got 42.3 or something like that. So I was close anyway. But it wasn't as big a loss as we think it was. All of our incumbent state legislators won. The races that we lost were the ones where we weren't running incumbents. So while it was, dreadful in comparison to the rest of the country, it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been for Democrats in Georgia, in my opinion.
Has anyone heard any of the rumors about certain Democratic people in the legislature who are rumored to be more switchers to the Republican Party?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any idea like who those people might be, or do you think it's really going to happen? I kind of wonder why you would why you would run as a Democrat.
It's not the one that I know of is not going to happen.
Yeah. I think Catherine's right in the with the legislature, Democrats have probably hit their low point. I don't see a whole lot of more seats that the Democrats can lose without gaining some Republican suburban seats that are probably trending Democrat. So you're probably at the low point for the Democratic legislature.
I would expect the Republicans to pick up two or three more seats over the next 2 years. from switchers. Once I think that they actually get in session and folks realize that that minority label is there to stick for a while, and they realize how on fun that is, they take another look at their district and figure out that they could have won no matter what label they had. They're out.
I think there's something else to be said for the fact that so many of the winners this year in Georgia were incumbents, and that there really wasn't enough issues out there to really piss enough people off to throw out the incumbents. And that's going to be a huge challenge in the next couple of years. Like Randy was saying, we probably will see a couple more Republicans get elected compared to this year.
Well, I think you're right, both on the Democratic and the Republican side. There were no incumbents thrown out. I don't think anybody lost a seat they held, with the exception of this coming Tuesday, where it's not looking really good right now for the Democrats on the PSC side. But it's also, too early to make an official prognostication on this because, this is a seat nobody's polling or taking a look at seriously. So, but if the Democrats lose that seat with Burgess, that would be the only incumbent that would be turned out.
If you look at the last couple of years, if I look at the last couple of years, a lot of what I've seen are more proposals than actual action, and certainly more of both than real results. And real results are going to be what make the voters happy or really angry.
And that's going to be the challenge for the Democrats, is to actually be able to talk about that effectively and say, the Republicans are not representing you in the way that you probably hope they will. But we haven't been able to, we as Democrats haven't been able to do that. I mean, we've been very deficient in our communication to the voter, I think.
Do you think a lot of that's just that things seem to be going okay in Georgia, so people are like, well, why rock the boat right now?
Things are basically okay.
If you're looking at like kind of longer term things though too, I mean, we're looking at Delta leaving the metro area, we're looking at...
Which has nothing to do with Georgia.
Well, it has something to do with a lot of Georgians who live in the metro area.
Sure, but I mean, it impacts a lot of people who live here and a lot of people who work with Delta, but the actual sale really has nothing to do with anything that's policy here in Georgia. It's really a thing of economics and the way the airline industry has changed, and that's based on federal changes over the last 20 years rather than state issues. The car companies have left, that is the American car companies have
Home
left.
Home Depot might leave.
Home Depot might leave, but also Home Depot may be acquired by be taken private, basically a hedge fund, or a couple of hedge funds might buy them out. But again, that has nothing to do with Georgia law or Georgia policy. There's nothing driving that.
Yeah, the economics, I mean, whether when things are going good or things are going bad, it's the people who are in charge that, whether they have anything to do with it or not, usually.
Sure. And even if they take Home Depot private, the headquarters may still stay here. More than likely would.
Well, the thing is even if, I mean, while you're right that those things don't have a lot to do with public policy, I think they do have a lot to do with the way people perceive their position, both economically and, how they feel about where they live. And whether it's legitimate or not, they feel like, well, everything's going to hell, and Sonny Perdue's the governor, so we got to get him out of here. I'm not saying that that's based in fact, but that's kind of the way people feel.
Yeah, from an economic development perspective, Georgia has been quite proficient at giving away tax breaks and things like that in order to give companies every incentive they want to stay, but when you look at the long term outlook, companies, what they see is an education system that is not quite as good as it probably should be, and you look at the long term prospects for Georgia through those lens, and it might make sense to leave when our, you know, the primary driving force of our economy is a lot of people who are very good at marketing campaigns.
Here's the problem for Georgia Democrats, though. They were in power for 150 years. And Republicans have just been in power for, what, 4 years? What are Democrats going to propose to people to start voting Democrats? Healthcare, jobs, education, transportation, those sorts of things. I think until it gets to a point where Republicans, sort of like they did nationally, where they just sort of hit a wall and can't do anything, I think voters are going to look and say, okay, Democrats can promise all this sort of stuff, but they were in power for 150 years, and they didn't do a damn thing about any of this stuff when they were in power. Why send them back? Why not give the Republicans a couple more years? And I think that's pretty much where we are right now in Georgia.
I'll tell you one of the things that has impressed me, having had sit-downs over the last 2 years with folks of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, when I went into the Democratic Party offices, everything that I saw suggested chaos. Everything physically that I saw in the office suggested chaos and mismanagement and unorganized. The places were a mess. And when we talked about some of the basic kind of things that they were doing on the election, I saw nothing that really suggested to me a well-run, well-oiled organization. When we visited the offices of the Republican Party, it was exactly the opposite. It looked like a well-oiled, well-run piece of machinery. But the really significant thing was that 130 years they spent on the out, especially in the last 10 or 15 years with technology, they have taken the time to organize this state right down to the precinct level. They know how many votes they have in each precinct, who they are, and how to turn them out. They know what the hot button issues are for individual voters, and they know how to communicate with them. They have an email database that would make a marketer salivate. When we talk to the folks at the Democratic Party, they have nothing like this. They have no voter identification. They don't know who the people are and which precincts or how to get them to vote. If the Democrats are going to really become a powerful organization again, they're going to have to stop, go back to, hate to bring football up since the season's really over now, at least for college, so those who are fans of college. But, you know, it's blocking and tackling. That's how you begin. It's a very basic kind of party structure that has to be built again. And it means building databases and doing all these really boring, tedious things that give you the edge when you come down to a 50-50 kind of vote. You need those five extra votes in precinct 123 in Tift County. I mean, that's how you win elections, and the Democrats don't
exactly
have that.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think, by and large, the bloggers in the community and some of the independent people in the community did a better job at using technology than the party structure itself. I mean, I hope we have finally seen, you know, the last of this school of thought that says all your money goes to television.
Absolutely.
And you don't do anything else, because it doesn't work, and it didn't work for us. I mean,
that's right.
We had a failure of communication, we had a failure of messaging, and, you know, the liberal blogs were the ones really that sort of got most of whatever message out. And I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize about the liberal blogs is that we really only get traction when we pull together. And there were really only a few issues that we got traction on because we were all sort of united in our message. And one of those was the Greg Hecht mailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, you know, contributed substantially to the demise of that man's campaign.
As well as Kathy Cox, I think. For the most part, I think the demise of her campaign was the marriage amendments comments, and the blogs pounced, and it pretty much did her in. I think, you know, whether you can scientifically track it back to that or not, but
I think there's some truth to that. I also think
it's a momentum shift at the very
least. There were some other problems in the campaign, and, you know, speaking of technology, it was sort of the Wikipedia debacle that I think marked the beginning of the end for that campaign. The loss of that campaign manager was
Consumer product marketers will tell you, you live and die by the buzz that your product creates. And what these campaigns saw was, when you get a bad buzz going at even a low level, it completely undermines everything that you try to do as an official campaign tool and organization.
And I also think that with Greg Hecht and with, I'm less familiar with the Cox campaign, I think it hits them too. You know, even if all their campaign staff is saying, don't read the blogs, somebody's reading it and probably telling them, and it's it affects the way they present themselves. So even if they're saying, well, it doesn't bother me, it's like a subconscious effect.
Well, and I think that the extent that a lot of the campaigns used technology this last cycle was just to, you know, lob grenades at one another. I mean, you would go on YouTube, and half of the videos on there were, you know, people at the campaign headquarters making these things just to throw out to irritate the other folks. And it worked, by and large. I mean, they would get under each other's skin. Never mind the fact that, you know, that's one of the most powerful campaign tools available to any campaign, that it's free and that you can create this stuff with, you know, consumer technology. They were using it to, you know, lob grenades at each other, which is part of the problem that the parties had all along. And I hope, this is sort of heresy, but I do hope this time in the wilderness for us will teach us how to get our act together so we can move forward successfully.
So we can govern. Like, I mean, we sometimes forget that we're supposed to be governed. Not we, but that they're supposed to be governing. And they get elected and then they govern. They don't, like, get elected and then run again.
Now we've got this new legislature. What are we expecting from them in 2007? Any big surprises or...
I think the most fascinating can of worms that's going to be opened is the repeal of the certificate of need process, which sounds very dull and boring just even mentioning that. But when you begin to peel back the lid on the certificate of need process and you see just how regulated hospitals and doctors are by bloodless, soulless bureaucracies, and how that drives up healthcare cost. I think it's not going to be settled in a year. It'll probably take 2 or 3 years, but it's going to change Georgia. But again, it's a very dull thing to talk about, and most folks don't get it.
I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of hot button social type issues out of the Georgia legislature this year. I think this year, now that they've been reelected, will be the year that they sort of pay off their roots, the people that have been in the trenches for 30, 40 years building this party. And those are the business sort of issues. I mean, they've already done tort reform. They're probably going to come in and fix a few things with tort reform that are, all sides agree were screwed up. But in the process, they're going to do a lot more business sort of friendly things. And I think the social conservatives will probably have to sit it out another term to get anything done. Will they try to get into issues like abortion and gay rights and stuff? I don't think so. I could be wrong. It could be something that happens between now and the end of session, but that's my gut. And one more thing, if they try to do the court packing plan, I think that'll be seen as an overreach. And I think that the smart Republicans will pull that off the table before it gets too far, because the people of Georgia spoke loud and clear, and Republicans like to say that. You know, let the voters have their say, and don't let the judges, you know, do things that the vote, they're against the will of the people. The voters spoke loud and clear. They don't want politics interfering with the Georgia Supreme Court.
What about voter ID? You think they're going to try to get that a constitutional amendment?
Yes,
but it'll fail because they don't have the votes. But they'll do it just to make an issue of it. Yeah.
But there's probably going to be a federal voter ID before there's a state voter ID anyway. I mean, that's coming. You're going to have to present a photo ID when you go to vote. You're not going to be able to use your cousin's utility bill anymore. And, it is, my argument has always been on this, you shouldn't be allowed to leave your house without a photo ID. The one thing that everybody ought to have to do is at any point in the day, you ought to have to demonstrate who you are.
Why?
Let's say you step off the curb and one of MARTA's famous drivers, mows you over. There are people who are responsible for scraping you up and getting you to the hospital and getting you medical care. There are questions that arise as to whether or not you're a Christian Scientist. There are questions that arise about next of kin, who has your medical authorizations to make decisions for you, all of those kinds of things. These are issues that have developed over the last 20, 25 years in case law and in the courts. And you can't walk around anymore without having some identification that proves
that be,
who you are.
Shouldn't that be your decision? If you if it's important to you that you your religious needs are met, or that your family is notified of an injury, wouldn't that be up to the individual to say, okay, well, I want to make sure of that, so
right
I'm
now,
always going to carry my identification.
It's a function of state. We have to know who you are when you're out in public. You should have to be able to prove who you are.
Well,
when any? Do you think there are going to be any new cities in the state of Georgia?
Dunwoody!
I'm wondering, is the Dunwoody thing going to happen? Because it got pulled really quick last year.
You know, I'm just waiting for, like, Candler Park, Inman Park, you know, all of them, you know, and it's just going to be a little, like, Cabbage Town is all by itself, and, you know.
Well, that's not going to happen within the city of Atlanta limits, because we have, I think, a pretty effective neighborhood planning unit system. Those decisions that are most important to be made at the most local level possible, those decisions of zoning and planning and blah, 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 those things, those little things that I studied in school, those are important to be carried out at the local level, you know, as well as a lot of transportation decisions, too many of which get decided at the state level.
Has anyone heard about David Edelman's plan for kind of an in-between the city and kind of countywide government, like a town or a township type thing? I've only heard a little bit about that. And since he's a Democrat, I don't know if it's going to go very far, and it might be too late to...
It's almost like a taxing district kind of concept, but with a township.
Well, you know, and there are places like the North Lake or Tucker area that... Maybe they don't necessarily need to be a city, but maybe they need to have more input into what's going on in those areas than a countywide decision. But maybe it does make sense to me, like, to have something like that. You don't necessarily need all these cities everywhere.
And DeKalb is clearly a huge, huge government, and you know, all the way from Dunwoody to Lithonia, and so. Yeah, I mean, I sympathize with it. I mean, you know, being a resident of the city of Decatur, it's nice to be able to have, you know, 18,000 people and go to your, and the government is responsive. So, you know, I'm very sympathetic to that, as opposed to this big 800,000 huge county that's the size of probably Rhode Island. You know, I don't know, but, you know, it's something like that would be.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of folks here like to, you know, sort of say, well, this is about racial politics in DeKalb County and Fulton County and things of that sort. But when you really step back and look at it objectively, I think, and this is speaking as somebody who's a resident of Dunwoody, you really have an issue where the city of Atlanta and what we call the inside the perimeter folks, who really freely complain about the people who live outside of the perimeter. So they essentially separate them out. You identify them as being people who are not part of our clique. Well, and then you have a city like, or an area like Dunwoody, my neighborhood. It has its own newspaper. It has a very strong identity. It has almost a town center concept in Dunwoody, where it's really an intersection with several shopping centers, but there's a mini town hall there, even though it's not a town yet. But it has a very strong identity, and people right now, if you even without a city being there, if you gave them a map and said, where is Dunwoody, they would probably accurately draw a line around what is about to become Dunwoody. So it has basically everything it needs, its own newspaper, its own identity, its own community, its own little town hall, to begin operating as a city. And I think the other thing that's going to happen on this, and this is going to be fascinating for the city of Atlanta, what you're really now looking at, Vinings is also talking about becoming a city of Smyrna. You're going to have the whole northern end of Atlanta essentially is going to be a barrier, a wall of cities. You're going to have Smyrna, Vinings, Marietta, Sandy Springs, Dunwoody. You've already got Doraville, Tucker, that area around the east side. The city of Atlanta is now being hemmed in on the north side. And the interesting thing politically and financially is all of the growth is in those communities and north. So essentially the city of Atlanta is being cut off.
Well, and one,
it has nowhere to grow.
One thing, I live in a small city in the northern part of town, but one kind of negative that I see with all this is that you do need to have some kind of regional planning, and you know, the different the more municipalities you have involved, I think the harder it is going to be to get things actually done. So
I just have to comment on that. I don't know if you've driven around South Fulton lately, but there is a lot of growth south of Atlanta.
Not only
so,
that, but within the lot. City, the city of Atlanta itself is exploding with growth.
Yeah. So I think it's a little nefarious to say that, you know, Atlanta is being blocked off and there's no place to grow.
On the north side. It's ringed on the north side. There's nowhere for it to go.
We can grow up.
Sam Aruba did a study committee about this, I think it was in 2004, and explored the possibility of a break of Fulton into two counties, Atlanta and Milton. I think that's probably going to happen. And, I mean, you know, the results of this study committee were essentially that Atlanta would be fine, that Atlanta County would do just fine because our tax base is such that, you know, we don't really need the folks on the north side who don't necessarily want to be part of the ITP crowd, and that's cool too.
And it's the other way around. I think folks inside the perimeter don't want us either.
One of the biggest mistakes I think that the state of Georgia ever made in its history was when the state changed its law to allow counties to provide municipal services, and hence it became a lot more difficult. Because it wasn't necessary to expand our city political boundaries. There are some other states that did not make that move, and they're seeing the benefits of that today.
Well, we're actually running out of time, so I need to move right into final thoughts, and I'll start with Decatur guy.
75,000, that was the number of votes that Jim Martin received more than Mark Taylor in the I think that speaks volumes as to Mark Taylor's campaign.
I think the worst thing that's happened to the Republicans in Georgia is the complete collapse of the Democratic Party. They really need the Democrats to get organized and get their act together. Of course, the Democrats need to do it. They've got 2 years to start looking and functioning like a party. They need to play hurry-up ball.
I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless, which is very infrequent.
In the next few years, I would advise everyone to look at transportation issues. Transportation is the first step you take in defining your own local community. And Kathy Cox, Mark Taylor, and Sonny Perdue had all agreed before the election season to remain silent on the issue so that these issues could be decided after the election. Without giving us, the people, a fair chance to have a say what we want. So pay attention and look out for a lot of competing visions in the next few years.
Well, I just have to disagree with Randy that the legislative session will be pretty mild. I think we're hopeful that the Republicans are going to get up to all sorts of nasty business, which will really help us in 2008, and as a part of that, Georgia for Democracy will be blogging the legislature, the sessions from start to finish every day on our website at georgiafordemocracy.org. We're setting up our site so that it's PDA capable, and we're recruiting a number of sort of stealthy helpmates who will be down at the Capitol every day to kind of keep us abreast of what's going on.
And I just want to say thank you to all our panelists who came on tonight. I want to thank Georgia Podcast Network for hosting the show. And I want to thank you for listening to this. We'll be back next year. Hope everyone has a great holiday season. Bye.
Next year, huh?